heredity and advancement of a dynasty, one should worship the various demigods. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The path of religion entails making progress on the path of spiritual advancement, ultimately reviving the eternal relation with Lord Vishnu in His impersonal effulgence, His localized Paramatma feature, and ultimately His personal feature by spiritual advancement in knowledge. And one who wants to establish a good dynasty and be happy in the progress of temporary bodily relations should take shelter of the Pittas and the demigods and other pious planets. Such different classes of worshippers of different demigods may ultimately reach the respective planets of those demigods within the universe. But he who reaches the spiritual planets in the Brahma Jyoti achieves the highest perfection. Gurave Guru Chandraya Radhikayai Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the path of religion entails making progress on the path of spiritual advancement. Interesting point, isn't it? He makes some distinction between religion and spiritual advancement. And this verse is speaking about dharma artha, someone who wants to advance in dharma. Some people, I'm sure, would translate it like that. And Prabhupada is giving this, that the real dharma artha, the real goal of dharma, is to make spiritual advancement. And to do that, one should worship Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. He gives dharma, and knowing Him is a real dharma. He's the object of dharma. We should surrender all dharma and simply take shelter of Him. Sarva dharman parityaga mamikam sharanam braja. And Prabhupada translates Uttama Shlokam as persons attached to the Supreme Lord. In his purport to the verse Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, the last sentence, Prabhupada describes in the whole purport that real dharma comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that we just decide, I think I'd like to create a religion and I'll do like this or that. But real religion comes from the Lord. And Prabhupada, in the last sentence of the purport, he says, or from the devotees of the Lord. So dharma is the most important thing for people in this world. But what is dharma? It's described in Hitopadesh, Ahara Nidra, Vayamaitanam Cha, Samanya Neta Pashubhir Nadana. That we're doing so many activities, the same activities the animals are doing. We're eating, the animals are eating, we're sleeping, the animals are sleeping, we're mating, the animals are also mating. Prabhupada said the dog is running on four legs and you're running on four wheels. And you think you're very advanced. But dharma hetesham adiko vishesha. There's special vishesha, special quality of the human birth is that we can do dharma. Dharmena hina pasubhi samana. So life without some kind of dharma is no better than animal life. So people are enjoined to do something, to worship some greater personality. And here in this verse, some description is given that if you want protection of your heredity and advancement of a dynasty, you should worship Marutganan, different demigods. It's not that Vaishnavas are against worship of the demigods. Many places in Vedic literature it's described, enjoined that one should worship them. The Rudra Yamala describes Devata Pitara Sarve Sive Puja Prayatnataha Nyuna Sur Nishfalam Kechit Grihi Bir Jari Karmasur. That A householder is enjoined. A householder must worship the different demigods and ancestors in all performances. It's a very, very important thing. If the householder is doing his different samskaras, but he doesn't worship the demigods in connection with those samskaras, then all of his performances are considered useless. And we read throughout the Vedic literatures great personalities worshipping the devatas. The Mahabharata describes that the Pandavas, they were worshipping Durga. And even Krishna sometimes is worshipping Lord Shiva. It's described in Mahabharata to get his son. If you go to Jagannath Puri, there's a temple of Shyamakali. And Shyamakali is a very old deity. She's been there for over 600 years at least, maybe thousands of years. And she's a hereditary deity who's worshipped by the Gajapati kings of Puri. And they worship her. But at the same time, Vedic literature describes, Padma Purana says, Ananya Sharano Bhakto Nama Mantreshu Dikshitaha Kadachin Narchayat Devan Ganesha Dimstu Vaishnavaha Yatra Yatra Sara Pujaha Puja Ganesha Jastu Karminam Vishmarchane Tatta Tatta Vaishnavanam Hi Vaishnavaha Vishvakshenam Chasanakam Sanatana Mataparam Sananda Sanat Kumara Panchaitan Pujayat Tataha. That if someone wants Ananyata Bhakti, they want pure bhakti, and that person is Nama Mantreshu Dikshitaha. He's taken diksha. He's initiated in the Harinam. A different set of rules apply to that person. And Padma Purana says he should never worship Ganesh or the other devatas. Although Rudra Yamala and other literatures describe that we should, and although Yudhisthira Maharaj was doing like that and the Gajapati kings, for someone who's interested in Ananyata Bhakti, they should not. He says in this verse that wherever the Karmis prescribe some worship of Ganesh and the Devas, the Vaishnavas should worship the pure devotees of Vishnu. Therefore, instead of worshiping Ganesh, they should worship Vishvakshena. He's the commander-in-chief of Lord Narayan's army. And he'll remove the obstacles. And they should worship the four Kumaras. And instead of worshiping the Navagraha, the nine planets, they should worship the nine Yogendras. This is recommended by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Instead of worshipping the Dikpalas, the protectors of the different directions, one should worship the Mahabhagavats. Instead of worshipping the Matrigana, 16 different expansions of Durga in charge of the material energy, one should worship the queens in Dwarka. And especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we worship 16 gopis, meaning the Astasakis and the Astamanjaris. Because those are the principal energies of the Lord. It's an offense for someone who's taken shelter of Nam to worship the Devatas. Dharma bhratta tyaga uttari sarva suva kriya samyamapi pramadaha. If someone who is initiating the Nam and wants to take shelter of the holy name, who wants to make advancement in terms of Krishna bhakti, for that person to consider dharma bhratta tyaga uttari sarva, that these different types of dharma, doing some agnihotra, doing tyag, some renunciation, some shubha karma, some samyamapi pramada. If you think that this is the same, it's equal to chanting Krishna nam, then that's some namaparad. Now someone may question how it is that we do agnihotra, sometimes for some initiation ceremony. Someone may say that if gyan and tyag are criticized, how is it we have the Sanskrit school and we're studying Sanskrit? And if tyag is criticized, and why is it that the Goswamis were acting in a very renounced way? Rupa Goswami, he describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the 11th verse, which is one of the most important verses for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anabritam. That your anyabhilash should be shunya. Zip, zero, zed, none. But jnana karma adi anabritam. Jnana and karma shouldn't cover bhakti. Jnana, karma, etc. Jiva Goswami says that adi there means tyag, renunciation. Adi there means vanashram dharma. And these things should not cover bhakti. How do they cover bhakti? Jiva Goswami says they may cover bhakti in two ways. One is that one may think it's the goal. Our goal is to learn how to make houses out of gobar and mud and spread these teachings all over the world and teach people how to live a simple life. But that's not our goal. And if someone is thinking like that, that's covering bhakti. The second way that jnana and karma and adi may cover bhakti, Jiva Goswami says, is that one may think that I have to do this. Bhakti is the topmost thing and I want to get bhakti, but if I don't wear this astrological gemstone, then it'll be very difficult for me because I'm in a Rahu period right now. And how will I be able to perform bhakti properly? So, in effect, they're thinking that bhakti is a goal, but these other things are dependent on bhakti. So that's an offense to the holy name. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, Kotiya Swamera Eka Krishna Nama Sama Jehi Kahe Sepasandi Dhande Tare Jama. Next verse. Someone who thinks Koti Ashrameda, that 10 million Ashrameda Jagyas, Eka Krishna Namasam, that they're equal to even one name of Krishna. Who is that person? Sei Kai Sei Pashandi. He's an atheist. And Dande Tari Jama, Yamaraj will punish him. So we should understand what is real Dharma. And what is Kaitava Dharma? Our Goswamis have described that there's Kaitava Chatushtoy. Four types of cheating Dharma. What are those? Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. These are Kaitava Chatushtoy. Four types of cheating Dharma in comparison with Panchama Purushartha. The fifth and highest goal, which is Krishna Prema. Prema dana vina vyarta daridra jivana dasa kori vetan more deha prema dana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we praise that I'm not Dhritanarayan, I'm Dhritajivan, because I don't have Radhika's love, I don't have Krishna prema. So please give me employment. This is the song that we hear sung the most in India. Please give me employment. Give me some salary. Give me some wage. Everyone wants that. Even Krishna is singing that song. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he's saying that Vetan Mori Deha Prema Dana. That you give me some employment, but the only payment that I want is Krishna Prema. We have Bhagavatamrita describes. Sanjata Prema Kach Chashmach. Chaturvarga vidhambakat tat padabja vasikarad anyat sadhyam nakinchana. There's no goal other than Krishna praying. Pure love of God. And it makes these other goals, it puts them to shame, it makes fun of them, and it conquers the Lord's lotus feet. Krishna vishayaka prema parama purushartha Jara Age Tinatulya Chari Purushartha. These four things are known as the goals of life, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. But in comparison to Krishna praying, Tinatulya, these things are as insignificant as straw on the street. So we should understand this. It's a very, very important principle. This section of the Bhagavatam is giving different points which are addressed to different types of people. But the bhaktas, they'll see it in a different way. In this verse, it's being described, dharma artha uttama shlokam, that if you want to advance in spiritual life, you should worship the Lord, or you should worship the Lord's devotee. Because it's described that Krishna bhakti janma mulo hoya sadhu sangha. If Krishna bhakti has a birthplace, the birthplace of Krishna bhakti is sadhu sangha. Krishna prema janmi tenho puna mukya anga. And even when someone gets Krishna prema, still mukya anga, the most important thing, is association with devotees. Bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate, Brihanaradiya Purana states, and this verse, a very important verse, is quoted by Jiva Goswami, the Sundarvas, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jiva Dharma, in many places, that bhakti manifests from association with the Lord's devotees. But then how do we get association with the Lord's devotees? Sometimes we think, well, I just join the temple and everybody's a sadhu. You may have faith like that. That's okay. And that's maybe helpful for you in the beginning. But if you only have faith like that and you don't have faith in Shastra, then you have komala shraddha, soft faith. If it's not Shastriya shraddha. Shastriya shraddha describes who is a bhakta and who we should respect. Krishneti yashigiridham manasadiheta. Anyone who chants Krishna's name, we should respect them. But it doesn't mean that just because they chant Krishna's name, that I'm going to serve them. Dikshashti chet pranati vishcha vajandamisham. Anyone who has diksha and is engaged in worshipping the Lord, I offer my pranams. Because they're in effect an associate of the Lord. Not because necessarily they're a pure devotee. That person, nindari shunya hridayamipsita, whose heart is completely freed from the propensity to criticize others, sangalabhya. That's the association that I want. That's real association. In the Padma Purana, there's a definition given of what is a Vaishnava. And that definition states that a Vaishnava is someone who doesn't criticize others. That's a Vaishnava. And someone who worships Krishna, Veda Shastrana Mukta Je Tulsivana Palakaha Radastami Bhrata Rata Vidyayastha Te Chavaishnavaha Sri Krishna Purato Je Cha Deepam Yachanti Shradaya Paranindam Nakurvanti Vidyayastha Te Vaishnavaha. This is a Vaishnava. Radhastami is so important. This is Padma Purana, 4th canto, chapter 1, text 31 to 32. A Vaishnava is someone who is attached to studying Vedic literatures. This is a Vaishnava. It's an important thing to study Vedic Shastra. And Prabhupada said, if you don't understand Shastra, then where will your Haribol be? You'll have Komala Shraddha. If you don't have Shastriya Shraddha, everybody says such and such person is a great personality, so it must be true. This is Lokik Shraddha, common faith. We want to have Shastriya Shraddha. We respect anyone who chants Krishna Nam, but it doesn't mean I'm going to take shelter of them. So that person who studies Vedic literature, who Jetosi Vana Palaka, who protects the Tulsi groves, the Tulsi plants, and Radhastami Bhrata Rata, who very happily observes Radhastami, and who offers a lamp to Krishna, especially during the month of Kartik, And paranindam nakurvanti vigyayaste cha vaishnava. You should know, this is a Vaishnava. Someone who doesn't criticize others. What's the necessity? There's no necessity to criticize others. Krishna is there. There's so many managers are there. Let me do my bhajan. This is what I'm supposed to do. That's a Vaishnava. So, how do we associate with such a Vaishnava? How do we get such association? Bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. That such a person gives his bhakti. Sat sange prapyate pumbi sukritai purvasamchitai. By some sukriti, some shubha karma. What is that shubha karma? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu very elaborately, very nice thing. What is shubha karma? He says there's two types of shubha karma. There's mukya shubha karma and there's gona shubha karma. Mukya shubha karma are those activities which promote bhakti. And gona shubha karma are those activities which give some secondary result other than bhakti, meaning dharma, artha, kama, maybe even moksha. And he says that lokik sukriti, or common sukriti, comes from activities like service to your parents, service to your husband, some material welfare work, feeding people, giving them some clothing, some warm blanket or something during the cold months. It means doing nitya naimittika karma, one's daily and occasional activities. It means cultivation of sankhya and gyan and so on. This is lokik sukriti. This is good, but it's lokik. It's a common thing. Paramarthik sukriti is what we want to cultivate. Paramarthik sukriti is bhakti. This paramarthik sukriti arises from contact with tirthas, like living at Giriraj, living in Braj, staying in the temple, observing Janmashtami, Radhashtami, and performing different activities related to bhakti, doing sadhu sangha. And he says that when heaps and heaps of paramarthika sukriti develops, then bhakti makes its appearance through the medium of sadhu sangha. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sangha. This is how, because Krishna kripa srimurti, this is that bhakta is the embodiment of Krishna's his mercy. This is how Krishna gives his mercy. So Vishwanath says that this lokik sukriti, after it produces its desired fruits, then it's exhausted. You get your beautiful wife. You get your good job and your money. You get to go to Swargalok. But then you fall down again. He says, sukriti, which is rooted in Brahma-gyan sukriti, produces its fruit in the form of mukti, liberation. And is then dissipated. These two types of sukriti, lokik sukriti and brahma-gyan sukriti, are thoroughly incompetent in the field of bhakti. He says, when the activities of navavidhi bhakti, the ninefold process of vaidhi bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, etc., are performed unknowingly, without knowing it, that's sukriti. Prabhupada sometimes says bhakti unmukhi sukriti, or bhakti, it's another phrase for it, Agyata Sukriti, unknowing Sukriti that someone is getting. It's Bhakti or Mukhi Sukriti, some Sukriti giving Bhakti, but it's not directly Bhakti. Vishwanath says, when those same activities are performed in Sadhu Sangha with full knowledge of their greatness, then they become Angas of Bhakti. So, Dharmartha Uttama Shlokam. If you want to advance in real dharma, we have to take shelter of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. It's absolutely required. In this regard, someone may raise an interesting question. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Prema Pradartha, He's the giver of Krishna prema. How did he get prema? Now you may say, that's a blasphemous question. How can you ask that? He's Sankirtanaika Pitaro. He's the father of the Sankirtan movement. He's a giver of bhakti. How did he get bhakti? How can you say that? But Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes that Mahaprabhu, he also, although he's the giver of bhakti and the possessor of bhakti, he also strived to achieve bhakti. Anyohanye save sarena sabha prati savibhalo ihan hoka krishne bhati. All the devotees, they love Nimai Pandit. As obnoxious as he was, as a big scholar, always wanting to debate with Mukunda and the different devotees. But they just naturally loved him. And when they would go to take bath in the Ganga, they would pray, Dandavata hoi sabhe parila ghangari sarva bhagavata neli ashibharda kore. Please, Ganga Devi, please Krishna, please bless the son of Jagannath Misha. Please give him Krishna bhakti. Hena koro Krishna Jagannathera nandana tori rashi matto hao chari anyamana. Please, Krishna, make him intoxicated with love for you. And what was Mahaprabhu's response? Bhakta ashirvada. Prabhu shire kori loy. Bhakta ashirvada se krishneti bhakti hoy. He accepted that ashirvada, that blessing. Because unless you get the blessings of the devotees, you can't get bhakti. So dharmartha, uttama shlokam. If you really want to advance in real dharma, which means bhakti, we have to approach the bhaktas. And I would suggest this is another meaning in this verse of purport. So I think we have to stop there. It's 8:35. Do we have time for a question or two, Prabhu? One or two, okay. I'm sorry to go on slow. Prabhuji?
I want to confirm if I understood rightly. You said that when one the only way one gets devotional service is by associating with devotees, but we see that devotees are preaching to so many people, but some accept the process of Krishna consciousness, while some others are there who don't accept. So the reason you gave is those who accept, they have a lot of agyat sukriti, bhakti, agyat sukriti, which is bhakti sukriti. Because of that, they accept the process, while those who don't accept is because they do not have that agyat.
And how do they get that thing? We should go out, we should do harinam, they should meet devotees. In the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, it's described that bhakti begins when someone makes friends with the devotees. They're not thinking they're a devotee, but they make friends with them. And then they get a little bit of faith in them. In other places it's said that just when you touch the bodies of the devotees, you get so much benefit. And that by that benefit, you'll get some faith in the devotees. And then you can develop the desire to hear from them. Sridhar Swami says this in his commentary on Shushushodadanasya verse. The Bhagavatam. He says that by touching the bodies of the devotees, you get some faith, and from that faith, then you develop the desire to hear. Okay? Do you want to add anything, Prabhuji? Prabhu?
This is somewhat performed by his previous one. It's not just beginning, so it's not just the canto.
It's very difficult to say where it begins. But in that some previous life, it should begin with the mercy of a devotee through the Lord.
Sometimes accepted because he was already doing it in his life.
Over here.
The same topic. There is from the third canto. Duratma khyal patapasya se vaikuntha varvasya, something like this. Those Duratmas who have all patapasya, who have a bigger amount of devices, austerities which they have to perform, and begin to understand the austerities in the
But if we worship him, we worship him as a devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I didn't get into that little time, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says the devotees should never disrespect the demigods. We respect everyone, Amanina Manadena. And they have some big position. They're the temple presidents and GBC members of the universe. We should respect them. Otherwise, how will things go on? Krishna won't be pleased. But we don't pray to them for bhakti. We may pray to them, excuse me, for bhakti as devotees, but we don't worship them as God. That's the difference. And so sometimes a devotee may worship Ganesh, a devotee may worship Shiva, but they do that seeing them as a devotee. In the Markandeya Rishi, in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a very nice verse, it doesn't come to my mind, but he prays to Lord Shiva, "You please give me Krishna Prem, and also give me devotion to you." Devotees may pray like that. Okay, very last thing, I may get in trouble.
I've seen many times the best, especially in some big shop, Vaishnava, devotees, they're running some shops, restaurants, they have big relationships. So, how should they understand? Do they want money?
No, you can't judge just by external things. Just because they have a big deity Ganesh, it means this. Maybe Ganesh appeared to them in a dream and told them, worship Krishna. And therefore they, Ganesh is really good, so we don't know. But the principle is that we worship Krishna. And the gopis, they also worship Suryadeva, they worship Katyayani. Sometimes they worship Gopishwar Mahadev, but they worship those personalities to get Krishna. Okay? Grandadashna Bhagavatama ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinda ki, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bo, Vanchakopra Dubhishcha, Kapasindhi Behavacha, Dhyan Bhavan, Vaishnavi.